At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Moncrief on News Talk.
The free school meals is, of course, very welcome, but what's being served and how it's being served can provide big problems for neurodivergent kids. Adam Harris is the founder of the autism charity As I Am. Good afternoon, Adam.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Lots of people listening might have kids who are fussy eaters. What's the difference between that and what it's like for an autistic person? Who can't abide foods?
I think this is a really important question because we all have likes and dislikes, and that's a completely typical experience for most of us. But I think there's a huge difference between not liking something and not being able to tolerate something. And often when we have discussions around sensory differences and autism, we see a reality that people who aren't autistic might use their perception of a sensory input or their, I suppose, tolerance levels to ascertain what the experience may be like for an autistic person. But if you're autistic, your sense of taste may work substantially different to other people, and as a result you may perceive taste very differently to other people. So the analogy that I would use is, if you think about nails down a blackboard, now nobody says, you know, I'm not fond of nails down a blackboard or I don't like nails down a blackboard. If it's something happening in the environment, you really can't cope, it's causing you discomfort, it may even be causing you pain. And there are foods that may be very enjoyable for other people that may present that sort of a barrier for autistic people. And I think eating is something that a lot of people just take for granted, they don't think about it. But if we actually step back from it, there's a huge amount of steps involved in food. There's obviously smell, there's social interaction, there's coordination, there's predictability, there's variability in food. And all of that poses a lot of challenges for autistic people and can make meal times in the homes of autistic people extremely stressful and challenging times.
Yeah, so in your experience, what were the triggers for you, or is that the correct word to use?
Yeah, I think sensory triggers is a good word. So certainly when I was growing up, there wouldn't have been a lot of time spent in environments in which food was served, and that was for a variety of reasons. So I have a very sensitive sense of smell. So if certain foods were being served in a coffee shop or a restaurant or at a family occasion, even if it wasn't at our table, that could cause me a huge amount of discomfort and anxiety. So one of my big sensory triggers is crisps. So someone just opening a packet of crisps was enough to cause that huge discomfort for me.
Oh, what, was that the smell of the crisps?
The smell sound? Of the crisps, the sound, the appearance, but it would have started from the smell was really what made me very uncomfortable. And that's still a sensory trigger that I would really struggle with. And I suppose as well as that, from my point of view as a child, I would have really only eaten a small number of kind of beige, quite plain foods. And even beyond, just to kind of get a sense of the specificity, not just in terms of I like sausages, I like Denny sausages, and I like Denny sausages when the skin is removed. So very, very specific foods. And as you can imagine, that can be quite challenging if certain foods are out of stock, if you're traveling abroad, if people don't know how to prepare food in a way that is suitable for you. But again, this wasn't just me being precious. This was very much the only way that I could access food. And the challenge at times is, because people don't have an understanding of this, it can lead to a lot of judgment. It can lead to a lot of, will mom not just make her son eat the dinner? It can lead to children being forced to eat foods that make them feel unsafe. And this has the opposite effect, because when you have people who already maybe have limited diets, who already have a small number of safe foods, if you're sending a message that the way they're eating is wrong, or if you're preventing them from eating things that make them feel comfortable and meet their needs, you've really run the risk of actually never having a situation where people might feel safe and confident enough to try other foods, or you could even lead to situations where people have more significant barriers around eating food.
You said the kind of the social situation as well. Can it be the case for some autistic people, they don't like people around them when they're eating?
Absolutely. And again, that can be to do with smell, it can be to do with noise, it can be to do with just the fact that food is a process that people maybe need to have a focus on when they're going through that process. So I suppose even in my own organisation, As I Am, where half of us are autistic, we have social interaction free tables in our canteen where people can sit and enjoy their meal in a defined space, but not have that added pressure of socialising with other people. I think that's really important. You know, we talk often in this discussion just about autistic children, but we are seeing a generation of autistic people age out of school into the world of work. Workplaces can have customs like you must eat with your colleagues, but for a variety of reasons that may not be accessible for autistic autistic people. And I think we really need to get beyond, I suppose, a point in time. If food is to be enjoyed, there's not a right or wrong way to enjoy food. And I think sometimes with the best of intentions, we try and put in place customs or policies around food, and we don't think about the very significant accessibility needs that autistic people may have. An example of that can be healthy eating policies in our schools.
Yeah, in that, if an autistic person might say, I just can't look at any of that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's very unhelpful when we send very black and white messages that there's good and bad food. If you're an autistic person who may think in a very black and white way, when that's a message being sent about foods that may be safe for you, that's very unhelpful, particularly if that may be the only foods that you feel comfortable or safe to eat. But also, I think it's problematic if we have a situation where people aren't actually getting the sustenance they need when they're in school, because very kind of carte blanche or very defined policies around what is healthy and what is unhealthy. I think this is important. It's obviously very welcome that the Hot School Meals program is being rolled out. And our understanding is that it is open to schools to make accommodations within the scheme for sensory preferences. But we know on the ground that's causing challenges for suppliers. We know there's instances where children are not being given that support or that information. So I think it's just about saying, let's meet people where they're at. Let's make sure that people feel safe eating the foods that they enjoy. And then in time, that's going to give people confidence, not only to be able to enjoy food, but actually also to be able to feel confident to be out and about eating food. You know, one of the programs we have in As I Am is our Autism Friendly Towns program. We have 45 communities across Ireland working to become autism friendly. Hospitality is a huge part of that. And, you know, good hospitality is good hospitality. If an autistic person can't enjoy a restaurant, it's not just the autistic person who doesn't come. It's the whole family.
Yeah.
If 1 in 20 people in Ireland are autistic, that's a huge loss of business as well. So if we design our restaurants and our places of eating to meet the needs of autistic people, where they're predictable, where they're non-judgmental, where there's a range of options, that won't just benefit autistic people. It's good for business and it's good for all diners as well.
Yeah. That range of options, though, can that become fiendishly complicated? Well, I imagine each individual will have their own particular things that they can, that they do or they don't want to do.
Very often it's just about sometimes when you're eating, particularly maybe in nice restaurants, there might be an expectation of there's a right or wrong way to enjoy this dish, or no, you can't have this dish without a particular topping, for example. Yeah. But to be honest, that's, I suppose, maybe based on the preferences of the chef. It may not be on the preferences of the customer, and the customer is always right. And sometimes it's how food is served. So, you know, if you always enjoy spaghetti bolognese at home, maybe it looks very different in a restaurant. So having an image of what the food looks like can greatly reduce anxiety. For many people, and certainly for me growing up, having food not touching on the plate could be important as well. So it's just about being open to meeting those sort of accommodations as well.
Mm. Well, actually, a lot of what you said would accommodate neurotypical kids as well, who wouldn't like their food touching each other and that kind of thing.
You know, we go out and poll public attitudes to autism every year, and we ask about people's perceptions around communication differences in the sensory environment. And often people's awareness is one thing, but their understanding is another. But at the end, we say to people, do you prefer when communication's clear? Do you like when the environment's calm and well-structured? Do you like to know what to expect when you're going somewhere new? And universally, people say yes. So what might be essential for autistic people can be good for everybody within
the
community.
Yeah. Did it get better for you in terms of eating food?
I think what was really important for me growing up is my parents very much, I think, accommodated my food preferences. I was never forced to eat foods that I found uncomfortable. My preferences were always honoured. So until I was 16, the only way I ate vegetables was when they were pureed, for example. I don't really eat vegetables now, but that was even the only way I would eat many
Sorry,
meals.
I was being judgy there.
No, you're all right. That was the only way I would eat meals growing up, was often if the food was blended or mashed. And as a result, you know, it was school lunches, I really struggled with that, because if they were packed, the way things would coagulate and stuff, I couldn't cope with. So my parents would prepare hot meals for me before I went to school. What all of those things do over time is they send you a message that your preferences are being honoured, that you're in control. And over time, that's allowed me to experiment more. Now, I don't have the most exciting palate in the world. When I travel, I still really struggle because I have particular foods that I like to eat. But I think that's the important thing, that this is about honouring people's needs and then building confidence and trust over time.
Adam Harris is founder of As I Am. Adam, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.